Guys, let's start with this. We had an email from someone who's researching COVID-19 in Houston, Texas. Her name's Bonnie, and her boss is the dean at the University of Texas School of Public Health, and she sent us a little cold open that she wrote that we are going to read right now. So huge shout out to Bonnie. Thanks for doing what
Absolutely.
You're doing.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I can't believe you took the time to write us a little script amongst your very important work. So let's do this. Michael will be Sean, Pam will be Edwin in this script. Here we go. It's called Michael Scott and the Coronavirus. Michael Scott walks into the office.
Everyone, can I have your attention? I have an announcement to make. As you all know, the coronavirus that Toby brought here is going to force us to work from home. But I have the solution. I have sprayed myself with Lysol, which will protect me and you against the virus. We can just keep on keeping on. So I have plenty for everyone.
Michael, who told you that?
Well, Dwight did.
Michael, you know Lysol is not intended to spray on the human body. It is for solid surfaces and should be kept away from children.
Why do you think that, Pam?
Michael, hand me one of the cans. Look, right here on the can, it shows you that it's for the kitchen, bathroom, and home surfaces.
Michael takes the can from Pam and starts walking to his office, shaking his head as he murmurs.
Why, you idiot. I have to make some calls.
Oh, Michael.
And see.
Bonnie, that's so amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bonnie in Houston, Texas.
That is like
that's
so
awesome.
Much fun.
Hey, shout out to you.
Yes.
Thanks for doing what you're
Absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely.
And thanks for listening to the
Thank
show.
Thank you so much. Keep on keeping on.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and J. Crew model, Sean Roman.
I'm Edwin Janes, Coordinating Director for Emerging Regions.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Am I scared of getting hit in the face? No. Every day, weirdos pay dominatrixes hundreds of dollars for that very privilege. I'm scared I'm going to love it. Do this!
Let's do this. Every week we get together.
Are you okay?
No!
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, today's topic, season 6. We've got a great show all about season 6. We've got some trivia that a listener sent in for us and a game that a listener sent in for us that we're going to play.
You've got some art that a listener sent in for us right next to you.
Oh, yeah. What? Wait a minute.
Yeah, this is, of course,
video.
The famous Pat Higgins, Michael Scott
yes.
Podcast Co.
It's beautiful.
This is my podcast studio, my home studio. I know.
We had banked enough episodes for the last 3 weeks mm-hmm. of our show,
yeah.
but we've clearly ran out, and we're still here. Sean was clean-shaven 3 weeks ago. It's kind of crazy what's happened.
Wow.
I've been keeping mine trimmed up.
Yeah, this is 3 weeks of sustained growth for me.
It's looking rugged, boys.
Thank you.
We're usually around the same table, but we're, of course, in our separate places.
That's right. And since we're already video chatting, we figured we might as well record this. You can watch this online if you're only listening
Hopefully.
To it.
Hopefully. Yeah.
We'll try.
If we figure it out. But here we are. But yeah, season 6 is a nice... It's been a while since we did season 5, right?
Yeah, it's been quite a while. Yeah.
We started moving very fast through the season, so we took a little break. But I'm very excited to dive into season 6, rich with story arcs. And
one of my absolute favorite seasons, for sure.
it's a great season.
Great analysis, Sean. Great analysis.
Apt.
Rich. No, it really is. There's a lot going on, looking back at how many storylines happened.
Season 6, a showrunner, Paul Lieberstein, of course, Toby Flanderson. 26 episodes. It aired from September 17th, 2009 to May 10th, 2010. This is a very exciting season. We got Jim as co-manager. We got the Niagara wedding. We got the delivery. We got Saber, Joe Bennett, Gabe Lewis, Donna, Holly, Helen, Isabel, Scott's Tots. My Helen. Favorite episode, Murder. Helene. Oh, shoot. I wrote Helen. who did this teleprompter?
Yeah, dude, that's a great... there's a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot happening. Looking at the ratings, if you just look at the ratings throughout this season on Wikipedia of like how many people are watching at the time, it's crazy how much more like the wedding and the delivery are above everything else. Like it's
such an
even
event.
Even six seasons in, it's like the Jim and Pam stuff is what everyone cares about the most.
You can imagine
like, those ratings crushed them.
The NBC promos at the time where it's like this week on The Office. It's finally time, you know. Dum 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 dum. And then they cut to something that Michael does, you know. Yeah.
It's great. Totally. We get to see Jim and Pam get married, and then we never have to worry about their relationship ever again. So, I love that.
There's no drama between them for the next three seasons. It's perfect.
Wait a second. I think this is I'm really excited to dive into these story arcs. We're going to talk about Michael, of course. This is a great season for Michael's love life. And if you haven't listened to our Michael Scott's Romantic Life podcast episodes, I think we did two of them. There's you have to go back and check those out. We've done an episode about the Niagara episode and the delivery, so we might not go as in depth there. But we'll talk about Jim and Pam, of course. Mm-hmm. Dwight?
That's one thing that came up as we were prepping the show, was just that we've already kind of taken a dive into some of these topics before. Like Sean mentioned, the individual episodes, also Saber in The Office. So
that's right.
I think we're going to take a slightly different angle looking at it through the lens of the characters.
And I'm really excited to dive right in. I think we should start with Michael Scott. At the top of this season, at the top of this season, of course, Holly is been moved to back to Nashua Branch, and so we don't really get into Michael's romantic life for the first couple of episodes. But then once we get off to Niagara, he's like, I gotta find somebody and hook up with somebody. Of course, at the end of that episode, he hooks up with Pam's mother,
Helen.
And that's made of real apes.
Anything we want to say about pre-Helene season six for Michael Scott? I mean, the episode Gossip is a spectacular Michael Scott episode.
Oh, yeah. That's when we really get to see Michael and his insecurities really, really come to bear. It begins with the park cold open, but then it ends with Michael just spreading rumors to try to cover up. It's a very classic Michael situation where he does one thing and it spirals out of a muck.
I was going to say, speaking of a muck, that's very much like Koi Pond is very similar to Gossip, of just like diving so far into Michael's insecurities where he's saying, he starts limits of like, what can we make fun of and what can't we? And he does the whole chart, and it just gets so out of hand. But this is when Michael's spiraling romantically. That's when he's at his lowest. Like, I feel like that's when he's the most vulnerable, because since the end of season two, he's had something going on. And here he's just like, oh my God, the love of my life is gone. And I'm dating coworkers' families. I'm asking out people I'm meeting at bars. He's just like, he's all over the place.
Once he sleeps with Helene, begins a slippery slope downward for Michael.
When I say he asks someone out at bars, by the way, I mean, he's asking someone out at a bar that he meets while he's on a terrible date with someone else tries to set him up. Like, he's just a mess.
Yeah. That's right. And that is crazy. I almost forgot to include, that date that when they all go out, is that in season six here? No.
Happy hour? Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is. Here it is.
There's a line in the episode is, I think it's The Lover, Double Date, excuse me, where Michael says, I used to think that I was going to marry Holly, but now I don't really know where with, you know, now it seems like I might marry Helene or something like that, right?
Right.
He actually acknowledges that, I mean, I'm getting the line wrong, but he acknowledges that he's not probably not going to end up with Holly for the, at this point. That's kind of where he's at. And if, for someone who is a hopeless romantic throughout the show, he feels a little more hopeless this season when it comes to his love life, even though we do get to see him, you know, have a relationship that on it begins to trend successful with Helene and then he tanks it. Who right. is Kafka-esque?
Right. There's so at first we're like, so with Helene, it's like, at first it's like, you're just like, well, this is doomed. I mean, we have the whole episode about, you know, Pam finding out and, and just how we all know how that went.
I think you're going to want to check the dates on this.
But that episode where they go out for her Helene's birthday and it's like there's just a minute where you're like, oh, this is going really well. And then it just, Michael just torpedoes it. So you, and it only gets worse after that.
I love
happens with Helene, happens with Julia. Same
when
thing.
When he tries to break up with Helene by playing off of Pam, where he says, I have to consider Pam's feelings. And she says, right. You know, Michael, it was hard at first, but now I kind of see how you guys fit.
<He's> like,
and I hope you will be as gracious during this next part.
I mean, I think that's a great point that Alex brought up about at the beginning of this season, it seems like we've kind of said goodbye to Holly, or at least Michael has. And we just watch Michael go through all these ups and downs this whole season. And it ends with Whistleblower, with, you know, him and Joe Bennett in the private jet and him bringing,
you're going to kill me.
Him, I have a lunch date with the chief of police. He's reflecting, on his year, which hasn't been blockbuster financially. His blockbuster stock is way down.
Hey, we're all in the hole now, Michael. It's all good.
But him bringing up Holly in that last episode as the cap to the season is such a crazy, like, at the start of the season, it was like, oh man, that stinks. We said goodbye to Holly. Seemed like they were really good together. And then here we are at the end of season 6 and it's like, she's coming back. That storyline is not done.
Would you say that's like the A storyline of the whole season? Is Michael's romantic thread?
Yes.
Or would it be Jim and Pam's?
No.
I mean, there's a lot.
I think the A storyline might be the success of Dunder Mifflin, because that's what drives the action, you know? And then Saber comes in, I don't know, back third the season. And I think one thing that moment in the season finale kind of plays off is that Joe doesn't have the history with Michael that David Wallace did. She doesn't have the insight or the understanding of how it went the last time that Holly was in Dunder Mifflin. In Scranton, I should say. I think that's the major overarching storyline, is Dunder Mifflin going bankrupt, getting sold, and then Saber coming in. But it's hard to say what the main storyline is. It just feels like that is the most, that drives the most action.
It does. I mean, and like you said at the end of like the Joe Bennett just saying like, I'll see what I can do, is Michael's face in that moment is sort of, that's the culmination of the season. He's like, I've been searching high and low for everything I had with Holly and I can't find it. And then Joe Bennett offers that to him. And it's like, oh my God, that just sets up the end of his time on The Office in season 7 beautifully.
Yeah, I think...
Have I slept with a woman? More than one?
Less than three.
That is not correct.
I think as far as Michael goes in this season, I think it's also important to look at him professionally as well. I think early on we get the promotion with Jim as co-manager, and it really plays on a lot of Michael's insecurities when he almost tanks Jim's interview or his idea. And then later when he has to work side by side with Jim, and then we get to see Michael's success. You know, he's sort of propped up during the shareholder meeting episode, for example. Oh. He's got to deal with, you know, Saber coming in as his new thing. So there is an area of development, which is Michael being good at his job, being very insecure and kind of tanking things. And then at the end, trying to find a home with this new company.
I gotta say, I think I understand that, like, there's kind of something driving, like, there's a story arc that affects all the characters, which is Saber buying out the company and that corporate arc. but I think that Michael is definitely like the hero story arc. Like that is what, that is like the focus of so many episodes, the emotional focus of so many episodes. This was a very Michael heavy season for sure.
Yeah. And that coupled with Jim and Pam's relationship. I mean, those two things drive the whole show, right, with basically Dwight running point guard between those two camps, you know, like that's sort right. of how the whole show has worked and continues to work. And so, and especially with having them get married and have a baby, I mean, another massively huge part of the story that's filled in this season. Like I was saying, you know, it's just like, of course, those are the most viewed episodes. That's a beating heart of the show. So yeah, I think, and then the way they twist that together with Michael and Jim as co-managers, kind of makes for a really, really unique season. You know, you kind of come off season 5, which is so much as the Michael Scott paper company arc. Sure. And by the end of season 5, and then Holly, right? And then by the end of that, it's like Holly's gone. Dunder Mifflin's stable again. Season 6 tears it all down again, you know, and then has to rebuild it back up. So it has this weird space between season 7, which then is sort of the exit of Michael Scott.
Well, that's a great point, too. I mean, you kind of, it is important to think about this season in terms of kind of knowing that Michael Scott is leaving next season, which I think he knew and everybody knew, working on the show. So it was sort of this really rocky season for him romantically, so that they can be like, okay, now that that's done with, we can start to kind of coast downhill here a little bit. We're going to bring Holly back next season. We're going to, you know, all the pieces are going to start falling into place because he's been through this kind of tumultuous season. So I think it's not, they could have just as easily given us Holly and given us Michael Scott finding love, you know, but they really put him through the ringer first. And I think that's really important for how great season 7 is and how great that storyline is when Holly comes back.
I think it's interesting in this season that Jim and Pam have these big milestones, but to a large extent, it seems like they are very much okay. I actually really enjoy a lot of scenes where they can just kind of interact and bounce off each other, and they're talking through things in their sort of day to day. Like I'm thinking of when they pitched Donna for the sales call, and they're talking about, the Schwab guy told us to treat every sale like a big sale, right? Or when Pam is trying to decide if she should say that she told someone about the saber printers, and right. Jim says, "Oh yeah, that's good. Get all the bad ideas out right away."
Also when we just sort of get insight on a conversation we don't see on screen after Pam slaps Michael and they're walking away, and Jim and Pam's like, "You were right. I don't feel any better." And it's like they talked about that. We get them after when they come back from their honeymoon, and they have the inside joke of Frank and Beans. Okay. Like we get some just kind of nice little Jim Pam things are working.
The other one that I really love is they're talking about Jim yelling, and Pam says, "You don't yell." He's, "What about the end of apple picking day when you said that hey, the car's over here?" You exclaimed, "It was the end of apple picking day. It was the perfect end to a perfect day."
You exclaimed. good stuff. On that note, what about Pam's pregnancy? Let's talk about that a little bit as far as a thread of this episode. A life coming into the world throughout the season.
Yeah, that's kind of the joke, I feel like, besides, you know, the wedding or talking about the wedding and talking about Pam's mom for a long time. It's that Pam's pregnant all this season, pretty much. We end season 5 with her finding out that she's pregnant when they have to leave the corporate picnic.
Company picnic.
And the company picnic. And but we get lots of great comedy from that. I mean, we get our vomit cold open. We get our
we did the cold open draft. We got a lot of responses from people being like, "Hey, you didn't pick my favorite. Yeah. Hey, you didn't pick mine."
That was one people really liked. And
but it was like, just at some point I've seen enough people throw up.
If I can't watch it while I'm eating, it's probably not my favorite.
I reserve the right to peel my hard-boiled eggs at my desk.
At my desk. Yeah. But it is I mean, and they weave it into the plot a few times. I love, and have some fun with it. I mean, her and Andy out on the sales call.
And
I
love, that's a whole, oh, that's totally
a great episode. You know, they play off as a couple. They're, you know,
message.
No.
Dude, Andy's retaliation to that is so insane.
The way he Pam's our surrogate.
He's like, I date models. Like, on a scale of 0 to Giselle, she's a 9.
I think you see his face models too.
Yeah, face models. Like, it was like hand and feet models and stuff.
Well, someone's got the case of the definitelys.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's good. It's good. But yeah, I don't know. Her pregnancy it's a lot of time for, like, Pam takes time off after that, and we get to see Pam, how much she misses some people afterwards, which is a lot of fun. They make all this sort of pregnancy jokes as she is, and she was pregnant at the time. Is that correct? Am I wrong?
I believe that is the second pregnancy, but I might be wrong as well.
Okay.
When she is pregnant with Philip, she was actually pregnant. But yeah, I also love how other characters rib them so much about this. I mean, of course, there's the part in Gossip when they announce their pregnancy to take the heat off of Stanley. And Michael takes the picture and says, wow, look at that. That is the inside of your vagina. It's clear why we didn't tell anyone now. That's clear now.
Ryan says not to vaccinate it. Creed asks who's That's the right. OBGYN.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh my gosh. And then, but like, I mean, you got so many more jokes at their expense. I mean, even when Michael is dating Helene and they go out on their birthday lunch, Pam's kind of ribbing her mom, like, oh, so what are we saying this birthday, mom? 49? And she's like, yeah, let's do go with that. And she's like, wow, our longest tradition yet, 9 years. And Helene,
watching Michael.
Yeah, and then Michael's trying to do the math in his head. But then, like, you know, then Helene's like, oh, Pam, and you just got married and you're 6 months pregnant, so how does that add up? Or something, like, I can't remember the numbers, but ooh, I did
burn on you and a little on me.
Jim says that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of fun. That's a great point. And really, I mean, for a lot of this season, things are really great for Jim and Pam. I mean, the little struggles that they have seem to be more about everybody else, not so much about them. I mean, we did do our episode about the delivery where they, you know, they struggle a little bit there, but that's just a misstep for them, a little bit arguing and things like that. It's just a blip. Yeah. I mean, their relationship's very solid here. We're not really worrying about them too much anymore in season 6. I mean, would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm more worried about Aaron and Andy, to be honest.
They fill that gap a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, of course, Michael and his romantic endeavors. But yeah, that's a good point. Andy and Aaron. We've got Aaron now joining the cast.
Well, she joins in 5, right, but certainly begins to blossom more in season 6.
She's in there now. I mean, it's like we don't even spend much time with her on the first episode because we know her by this point. So, you know, we start exploring, you know, her and Andy. We've also done an episode about that.
They get a lot of the will they won't they tension with Andy and Aaron in this season, and they get a lot of bang for their buck for it because both of the characters are so oblivious to the signals that the other one is putting off, which I think is really funny throughout the whole season. So as Andy says, you know, the ball is definitely in her court.
It's a JV version of Jim and Pam, where they're just like, they don't really know what's going on as much on the field. They're just a little. They're not ready for varsity yet. They don't have the kind of insane chemistry that, you know, Jim and Pam do. But it works. Like, I do find myself rooting, wanting them to get together. They do seem like a great fit. But, you know, unfortunately now I'm tainted knowing what happens later on. So it's almost like I don't even want this to be happening when I rewatch season 6.
Hey, in the context of season 6, I think it's a great, great piece of it. It adds a ton of color and dimension, and we get some additional development for Andy and Aaron that we don't get in other seasons, really. I think we get to see Andy and Aaron's first date, We get to learn about Erin's sort of past life as a foster child, and we get to see her act really strange in Secretary's Day, which is kind of an inkling, like a first inkling of who her is.
What a spectacular interaction of characters like Michael and Erin. Mm-hmm. And like, that is such an important episode for their relationship, as that develops, you know, very quickly between now and the end of season 7. Mm-hmm.
The kind of character who's so oblivious and absent-minded that Michael thinks she's a rube.
That's it. That's exactly the joke.
Next level.
Favorite age?
And I love, too, that, like, this is maybe the first time that we're kind of taking Andy's character a little more seriously. Would you agree with that, maybe? I mean, he's been a joke for 3, 4, and 5, pretty much up until this point. Like, his relationship with Angela, we know that he was, like, you know, the fool that whole time. I mean, he was, you know, just kind of an annoying, pestering.
Well, this is season 6 is the first time Andy's search for happiness feels real.
Exactly.
Because like you said, the whole time with Angela, it's a sham, and everyone knows she's with Dwight, and it's like, he's just this dumb stand-in for Dwight. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, this is the first time we see him actually having any sort of real, like, success in terms of something that would actually be good for Andy, and he knows it. And I mean, kind of similar with Erin too. And it's just it like you said, it's like these school children of this crush behavior of like, well, now maybe I'd see if she's into me, and now it's her turn. Mm-hmm. And it's this handoff, and you're just like, can someone just have a casino night and pull a cast here? Let's get this thing going. But, you know, takes its time. And yeah, I think that's a good point, Edwin. It's like, you need a bit of romantic intrigue in every season, something to keep it going. And
so, I love the way it rounds out near the end of the season with Happy Hour, where they're trying to, Andy keeps saying, I don't want drama, you know? And then at the end, Erin just says, you're a total drama queen. You love the drama. Yeah. So
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really fun one.
I feel you, Joanna.
We can't forget about Dwight in this season. I think that
No.
I think that the co-manager story arc is maybe just half about Dwight and half about Jim and Michael. That is just such a great source of comedy, watching Dwight try to bring him down. He's got his listening device in the mallard. He's got his competition with Andy to have everyone owe him a favor.
The employee of the month scheme?
The employee of the month scheme.
A scheming Dwight is the best Dwight, and we get a lot of it. Or investigator Dwight is the best Dwight. I mean, we also get him when Michael sends him to investigate, you know, if Dawn is cheating on him or not.
Yes.
You know, we like,
wow.
like take the cuffs off of Dwight and let him work. And it happens a lot throughout
that
the season.
That is such
so
a
good.
Spectacular Dwight episode. That is just,
it's really one of the best.
You know, a full body exercise that involves two people. Yeah, I can think of one. Tractor pull.
He's got that thing that he puts on his head with the weight. Like, what is that? That's definitely going to hurt your neck
muscle. Yeah. That's some old beef head stuff.
I love when he gets up off the machine and the old woman comes up and is like, young man, can you please wipe that off? She's like, he's like, get lost.
Dude, there's a few times I feel like Dwight is super dismissive of old people. Mm-hmm. That's one of them.
Totally. He doesn't.
There's another moment that I can't remember, but it's like, it sticks out in my head. I don't know. Anyway. Dwight fully in free fall for a lot of this, mm-hmm. which is great.
And then, of course, after the Niagara episode, he hooks up with Isabel there, and he runs into her later at happy hour. Meanwhile, he's developed a sex contract with Angela.
Alleged contract.
Which then later just turns into a punch card. So that he doesn't have to pay Angela's damages.
Some weird stuff going on.
of course, he falls for Isabel later. Yeah, when he runs into her at happy hour, and then later during the delivery, we see. Do I have those mixed up?
No, that's correct. That's
deliveries before happy hour. But anyways,
right. I think the other thing that we see from Dwight in this season that stands out to me, obviously all of those things, he's got a lot going on, right? He always does. I love in particular in the mafia episode when they find out murder. I always confuse them. When they find out that the company is bankrupt, Dwight says, you can have jobs on Shrewd Farms as human scarecrows. The pay isn't very good and you can't unionize.
You can't.
But the thing that stands out to me from this season is in the New Leeds episode. When Michael and Dwight go to look through the dump to try to find the new leads, and Dwight kind of acknowledges, Michael says something like, there was a time when you would have been amazed to walk through the dump with me. And they kind of air out their dirty laundry about their relationship and co-managing and assistant to the regional managing and how Dwight feels like he isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was a really important moment for the two of them.
Definitely.
Oh, one last Dwight investigation this season is, of course, in the meeting investigating Daryl's workers' comp.
Oh, yes.
Spectacular Dwight and Toby storyline, which we don't get very often. Dwight, Toby, Daryl, which is an interesting trio.
That is a brutal episode for Dwight because, I mean, he goes through the whole investigation. He basically gets kicked off the porch by Daryl and his sister in this really humiliating way, and then immediately finds out that Jim and Michael are going to be co-managers, and Dwight is not a part of the club, and it's just tough for Dwight. All just bad things.
He's got that talking head where he just looks in the camera and screams.
I love the Dwight moment where it's right when they do the employee of the month. It's when they're trying to figure out how to spread out the raises. And Dwight walks around. He says, every few hundred years, there are moments where we can affect the course of events. Tick, tock. So let's go into Jim's office. Tick, tock, and drag him out. So what say you?
I know, dude.
And they all say,
it's
so
like
what?
He's engaged
to my plan.
No. What a waste of a day. I could have been growing poison mushrooms to be this high by now.
I know.
They're mushrooms. They don't get that high.
If there, anything else about Dwight this season?
No, you made a good point that he's not necessarily in the spotlight a lot, plot-wise. But he's as consistent as ever. He's as crucial to the foundation of the show as ever.
There are a couple cold opens in the season that just are Dwight doing his annual thing. Recyclops is one. The karate demonstration is another. Just every year, Dwight comes in and does XYZ, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, totally. That's a good point.
I did just want to go back to Andy Bernard just a little bit, because kind of after the whole Aaron stuff is kind of over after Secretary's Day. Andy, of course, in line with the whole Saber story arc, starts discovering that the printers are catching fire. I love that whole...
Oh, that's true.
I love that whole dynamic between him and Daryl, that Daryl's going to get back at him for something from 2 years ago or something like that. And then... Andy stepping up, but this is kind of...
He is a fool.
It's a mark of that, like, while Andy's so dumb, it's like, does he have, like, a moral, like...
Rudder?
He's trying to do the ethical thing a lot of the time, right? He, in the cover-up and in the Trump, when he takes Michael to face... the man of the who's married to the woman he's sleeping with.
It's Bo. I know it's a lot like cricket.
That's right.
One of my favorite shows, talking about Andy's morality, one of my favorite talking heads in the whole show is in the shareholder meeting where Andy talks about he's trying to pump up Oscar to ask a question.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he arranged for all his kids to skip the SAT and then he didn't. And then he says, I feel lachrymose. And the look that he gives to the camera is so funny. I don't know if I can even replicate it.
But. Yeah. Is his face saying there, like, is that how you use that word? So right, no, yeah. I thought it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wears it all on his sleeve. Also rips his scrotum this season.
Oh yeah.
Not great for Andy.
Mm.
I do love in the episode is the meeting where Michael is just sitting at Andy's desk trying to look into the conference room, and he says, "How are your sales?" Andy says, "What do you mean?"
Oh my gosh.
Busted.
Because of the economy. And then Michael just doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And Andy says, "I'm in this weird, flirtatious, nebulous thing with this cousin of mine." Cousin.
And Phyllis.
Again with the cousin. I don't know, Phyllis. What does this sound like to you? I love it.
Hey, Andy, let's go hang out with Grandma and get drunk. Ha ha.
Palpa Bombading, where are you?
Let's see. I mean, there's just so many other great little things that happen. I mean, by this point in the show, the ensemble is so well established, I think, is the other thing that's really great about this season. When we open with gossip and we just kind of like spend time with each and every character in a way. Everybody's got their own fake rumor about them or a real one. In Stanley's case, he's having an affair. That's such a great opening episode to the season with the interns and everything.
Would you like to get a cocktail?
But
what's your favorite rumor? Do you have to pick one from the group that Michael says?
Oh, that Andy's
gay.
Oh, that Kevin's just a machine being worked by a smaller person.
Mine is that Toby's a virgin. I have a daughter. How can I be a virgin?
That's so funny.
Or then Michael makes up the J. Crew rumor, assuming they would all talk about him.
I love, right. Yeah, and I love watching, Michael's like, you know, I made all the rumors up, and Andy's like, even the fact that I'm gay.
Yeah, he has to ask.
Oh gosh,
I was gonna say too, along those lines, a theme for me this season is Oscar gets a lot more shine. Yeah. He gets a lot more involved. Obviously, he has this whole plot with Matt in the warehouse.
Right.
I mean, where we sort of develop Oscar's. It's the first time we've had a romantic development since Gil for Oscar. Him and Kevin have the, like, kind of have a lot of little things. Obviously, the Cookie Monster video that Oscar passes around. They have the moment in the parking lot while they're waiting for the Pam Michael fight. And Kevin does the, like, why can't you ever just agree with me? When Oscar said, like, he can't fight back. How could Michael win? Why can't you just ever agree with me? And it just gives you a little, like, it's the scene just for their own sake. Like, it doesn't matter. We just get some Oscar and Kevin development. And then, of course, Oscar goes to New York in the shareholder.
I love the way he sheepishly raises his hand.
Yeah. And I really like that because I think Oscar, he really brings a lot. He brings some ingredients to the ensemble that no one else has, and they use it pretty sparingly, but he's really good.
The Oscar Kevin friendship is explored a little bit more in this season. Totally. I mean, Niagara for sure.
100%. I love, I was thinking about this today. So there's, in shareholder meeting when Oscar goes up and he's brought up to speak to the board and the former congressman, he doesn't want to say anything. He pulls back and does not want to volunteer his opinion. He says he feels like the company's in the best of hands. And in that moment, it feels very disappointing. Why doesn't Oscar speak up and assert himself and show that kind of understanding and business acumen that we see from him earlier in the episode and throughout the show? I was thinking about it today, and the way that Oscar's arc eventually concludes with him running for state senate is actually a pretty, normally I would think of that Oscar is almost like a flip of what happens with him and the senator. But when you think about it in terms of Oscar's growth or that the fact that Oscar seems like he's maybe destined for something bigger than being an accountant, it's a nice moment on the way to that eventual payoff.
Right.
This does feel like the seed planting that sort of that's where it ends is maybe that moment when he doesn't say anything has just been eating at him since season six. And, you know, by the time we get around to him and his campaign later, it's caused him to be like, I got to do something.
You know? I'm glad you used the metaphor of the seed. Cause the other Oscar moment that I really love from this season is this plantation is running low on greenbacks. We can't pay the farmers for the manure and buy us the seeds.
And the dirt, Michael, I can't.
Michael, I can't.
And just as you have planted your seed in the ground, I am going to plant my seed in you.
What other favorite moments do you have from this season? Or what did you learn rewatching it, maybe?
We're not talking a lot about the individual episodes because we've already talked about them so much.
We'll get to all of them eventually.
There's a lot of things in season six that feel like the Office fan collective, either all that people would like to talk about, namely Scott's tots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we can't.
I mean, we'll talk about that on its own episode, I'm sure, at some point. There's also, of course, the clip show in season six.
Oh, the banker.
We talked about that. Yeah, the banker. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so forgettable. It honestly, when you're scrolling through Office episodes, sometimes you're just like, the banker. Oh, right, that's the clip show. Like still it takes me a second sometime. Also, we got this. We got an email from Grace who asked us if what we think of the episode Mafia. She says, I personally always skip it. I feel like it's a breather episode after Niagara for the writers. I don't really want to have to deal with Andy playing a mechanic. Are there skippable episodes this season?
Well,
obviously none are. We know that none are. Of course.
People like to skip Scott's tots. We know that people like to skip Scott's tots because they can't handle it.
Which is
they can't handle the cringe.
You can't handle that. Yeah,
the cringe. No, but that's Mafia interesting that she says Mafia is skippable. I kind of love all the stupid Sopranos jokes in that episode. I don't like sauce. He's
the
like
sauce is on the side. I said
yeah, sauce on top.
You know, with a side salad. If the salad comes on top, I said it back.
That's it. I love that.
I think Mafia is an episode that's unbalanced because both Jim and Pam are gone, which is a very unique sort of dynamic. As Oscar says, the coalition for reason is growing very thin.
Yeah.
So,
Michael, if you just you'll be saved. What? Michael, his face, he's just hanging on to every word, and he is so heartbroken when he can't connect to Jim.
I love
so
when
in that moment.
When Kevin is in the office and he pretends to be Jim on the phone. Thank you, Mr. Halpin. You're clearly not in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Yeah. He's just spinning on the chair and then doing the sit-ups. So good. Truthfully,
I feel like the banker is way more skippable than Mafia. Yeah.
Definitely, but the banker. I mean, I skip Niagara.
Carpenter's funny.
I skip Niagara on this rewatch.
Something that I forget because I pass over the banker is the Computron thing and the new Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Really? Yeah. Short new Stanley.
The Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. Computing. That's good.
I don't think there were any.
Gale from Breaking Bad.
Skippable episodes for me in this season.
Yeah, none of them really are. It's just like, I wonder, it does seem like there are some episodes people generally don't.
If I had to pick my weakest, maybe excluding the banker because it is a clip show, maybe Body Language?
Oh, Body Language is great.
I like Body Language.
Okay, all right. I guess not as much happens in that episode.
Like sexually angsty Michael that whole episode. It's great. Yeah, I love it.
You left your baguette.
Yeah.
And I do like Donna. I actually do enjoy that character, totally. Even though she's evil.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, Michael's flings are just all over the place. Mm-hmm. We got another email from Toby. Maybe the Toby from he's asking about gossip of like the way Michael tries to cover up the rumors. Like, is that actually a genius move? Like, if Michael really didn't care about anyone's feelings, it kind of is brilliant.
It is. There is. I mean, I think what's so great about Michael is he so often uses like kid logic, like where it's like, I understand how he arrived at this, but it's absolutely not what he should be doing. It kind of is one of the few times that he comes up with a genuinely good plan.
Chaos is a ladder.
Chaos is a ladder, that's right.
The climb is all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just create kind of like a, you know, smoke
muddy
screen.
Muddy the waters. You know? No one can see anything.
That's right. That's right.
Everyone.
Sean, you asked what we learned from this season?
Yeah. What did I learn?
I learned that a company could describe its internship as fun and exciting and have it be neither of those things. I learned that if you bear the passing resemblance to Jet Li or Julie Stiles, might call you that incessantly.
Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke. Yeah.
You might have learned shapes or blocks or clocks or colors, or you might have learned that we're all sisters and brothers.
Classic Astrid.
Any final thoughts on season 6?
Jim and Pam with the daycare is funny. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a little, an odd little trip that they had.
Upon my last note is upon the rewatch of the season, or most of the season, and I think one of the hardest times I laughed was just seeing Michael in Jim's big suit in Koi Pond when he puts it on after it's wet. I don't know why. I just laughed like a little boy for so long just seeing Michael in the big suit.
It's so funny.
A couple of little things just from rewatching to prep for this. When, I'm trying to think of the moment. Pam goes in to talk to Ryan. I think, you know what? It's about whether or not Ryan's going to go to their wedding. Mm. And Ryan is reading I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, which I thought was such a perfect Ryan book to
totally
be reading.
Isn't that the, remind me, who's the writer? Of
Tucker
that?
Max.
Tucker Max, right, who, if anyone doesn't know, is just memoirs of a complete asshole, is essentially that book. That's great.
I haven't read the book, but I'm familiar with it.
He's a terrible person.
It's right there in the title. Yeah. I mean, everything you need to know is in the title.
A couple of
very
other
funny though.
Really little things. There's a moment during the employee of the month thing that Jim sets up where Dwight comes into the kitchen and he says, "Oh, hey, Jim, I bet if you tried, you could grow the best beard of anyone in the office." And he opens the fridge and he pulls out mustard and just sets it on the counter. He's just doing something in the kitchen. And then when they pan away, if there's like mustard, jelly, and soy sauce. There's nothing being made. And then the last thing.
Yeah, he's just emptying out a door rack right there.
That's so funny.
You need a little bit of business to do with your hands as an actor. The other thing that I noticed that really made me laugh hard was that the whistleblower episode at the end of the season where they're trying to, what is it? Gabe comes out and he says, "I've come to the conclusion that it's you, Mandy. It just really seems like you did it." And they're going back and forth. And then Creed says, "I think we can all agree it's either Andy or Angela." And then it's Angela. Get her, boys. But he doesn't flip the coin. I remember that moment, but he just.
So good.
That's how Creed makes decisions. Yeah, he pretends he's flipping a coin. Well, I got to do this.
One other.
What's the most you've ever lost in a coin toss?
The other thing that I wanted to call out from this season is I think it has maybe the best blooper reel out of any of the seasons.
Ooh.
It's such a great blooper reel. We've got the push-up contest with the weird noise.
That's right.
You've got the other one is during the Christmas episode, Secret Santa, where the scene where Kevin sits on Michael's lap, that is a scene that they clearly had such a hard time shooting because you can see, if you watch the background characters, Mindy Kaling is smiling the whole time. There's even a moment where she's laughing. In the shot and they turn the shot to kind of exclude her. But the characters break so many times when they're filming that. There's
a bunch of bloopers. You see BJ Novak step in front of her because he knows she's laughing. And we see him kind of just take a step and get in front
of her. That's so good.
But like, it's still so funny. They're like, we have to use that take. It's just too good.
You got the bloopers from the delivery where, you got to get it together right now, right? And from the bloopers from Happy Hour, where Michael is, I'm going to get you, right? Yeah. And then the other one blooper that I love is Oscar with the plantation.
Yeah.
Steve Carell laugh. But anyway.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, shall we move on?
Yeah.
I think it's time for a little conference room.
Okay. Well, for conference room, let me go ahead and switch to it. There we go. We'll go to the meeting.
Oh,
there we go.
Wow.
Look at that.
This is the song. This is the. Seasons of Love.
That's right.
9,986,000 minutes.
Right now. Conference room. Topic. Potpourri. Let's go.
All right. This one comes from Jim Campbell, who sent us this little game. It's a quarantine house game, The Office Edition, that we're going to play right now. And He says, I love the podcast. It's been especially great being stuck at home with everyone else. I really appreciate all the hard work you guys put in. Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to bring you this show.
Absolutely.
He says, after seeing several quarantine house challenges, I decided to create one for the office. Let me know which house you would pick to be quarantined in. I'll tell you what he said afterwards, but he put a lot of thought into this. He tried to make it as tough and balanced as possible. Mm-hmm. So let's assume throughout this entire period, we are roommates with these different groups of people, and let's talk through each one here. So do you guys have it up?
Yes.
Your screen here. So let's go. Let's just start here with house one, Michael Scott, Holly Flax, Todd Packer, Toby Flenderson, and Stanley.
Mm.
That is nonstop infighting, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's, I don't, I don't, I, let, here, I'll, let me read the rest of the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
House two, Dwight Schrute, Angela Martin, Phyllis Lappin, Nellie Bertram, and Robert California.
Nellie and Robert in the same house. Oof.
With Dwight and Angela. House three is Jim Halpert, Creed Bratton, Meredith, Karen Filippelli, and Charles Minor. Dude, Jim, these are really well written.
Yeah,
the fifth
very,
person
very
is always a curveball.
Always.
It's like, oh, I don't know. House four, Pam Beasley, Daryl Philbin. Sounds great. Jan Levinson, Roy Anderson, and Joe Bennett. House five, Andy Bernard, Kevin Malone, Aaron Hannon, Gabe Lewis, Pete Miller, Kids Table. We'll call that one.
Yeah.
Aaron and all her romantic interests.
Including Kevin.
And Kevin. That's right.
Kevin.
Will you have lunch with me?
Oh my God.
And house six is Ryan Howard, Oscar Martinez, Kelly Kapoor, David Wallace, and Clark Green.
Okay.
I mean, this is wild. So we're going to post this. Mm-hmm. We'll post this, of course, so you guys can check it out. This is really great, Jim. It's a little easier for those of you listening out there if you can pull this up. So, again, I'll post that on like Twitter when we post the episode. But yeah, what do you guys think?
Should we go house by house, or do you want us to give you where we think we would want to be?
I mean, where would you want to be? What are you looking for in a quarantine? You know, like, I feel like each of these six houses as a whole is going to have a very distinct vibe.
I'm looking to avoid ridiculous conflict from past romantic partners. The way it breaks down within these houses. So,
yeah, I think for me, house three is my first choice.
Really?
When I look at these.
Jim, yes. Creed, Meredith, Karen, and Charles Minor.
Yes.
Putting Jim with Karen and Charles would be interesting for sure.
I guess we're assuming this is.
You really want to watch Jim squirm.
We'll say this is what, season seven, season nine, after the show.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I do. I think I think that they're also both mature enough that out of all the other romantic entanglements in the other houses, this one might be the easiest to deal with. Not to mention, Meredith is going to be a hot mess, but probably fun.
Mm-hmm.
Creed can play guitar and sing. Like, there's stuff you can do with Creed. Make some weird stuff.
Drugs.
Charles Minor, when he's not at work, maybe he just wants to talk about soccer and watch old football games, you know? I don't know. I don't know who he is at home.
I would have to...
I know he's awake. I know he's wide awake.
I would have to go with house number four, which is Pam, Daryl, Jan, Roy, and Joe. And here's my thing.
Okay.
Obviously, Pam and Roy have a romantic history, but I think now they're both happy in their relationships, and that would all be cool. So you can hang out with Pam and do fun things like arts and crafts and drawing or whatever, or joking around and those types of things. That's all fun. Then you got Daryl and Roy, so it's like drinking in the backyard, ping pong, drinking too much. Those are fun things.
Talking about jet skis.
Ping pong. Talking about jet skis.
I think
fantasy Joe football. Bennett's
got, and then
Joe Bennett's got stories for days.
Oh, Joe! I think Joe would absolutely be back there hanging out with us. Totally. And
you're gonna have all those Great Danes in the house, dude. That's gonna get old.
It'd be nice to have an animal around. We don't have a pet right now during the coronavirus. It would be.
Yeah, but going from no pets to three Great Danes, I mean, I don't know. That's going to be a tough adjustment.
I'm not cleaning up after them. That's for damn sure. But
Roy's doing
I like Jan too. I mean, you know, she's in a better, she's just, you know, maybe she would kind of keep the house in line a little bit. If she doesn't,
Jan.
Maybe early Jan.
Do you think Jan and Roy would be hooking up?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Depends. Has Roy met Laura?
I guess
you're in this house with Pam, and I mean Pam and Roy are in this house together. Jan hates Pam. We know this.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That would be the wild card.
Joe Bennett might be the steady hand that fixes all.
That's what I thought about this house as well. I thought about this one as my pick as well, just because I felt like Joe would be able to kind of keep Jan in line a little bit, just by sure strength of personality.
Yeah. I think without a doubt, the house I least want to be in is house number one with Michael, Holly, Todd Packer, Toby, and Stanley. That sounds very chaotic. Todd Packer immediately is the last person I want to be with.
Any house with Packer is what I don't want to be in.
Pretty much what I don't want to be with. And then Holly and Michael's romance is just so intense. The PDA...
The comments from Todd.
Would rather not. Yeah, watch. Yeah. Oh God.
Michael and Toby. That's so funny. Going back and forth.
Yeah. House number one was my second choice. Mainly because of Stanley and Toby. I think. Stanley would lose his mind. Stanley would be so disagreeable.
There's no one for him to sleep with in that house. So it'll have to be you.
I think the house that I would pick is house number six.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that I go in. And you know, it's funny because you compare it to house one. I said this quote earlier from Oscar, but the coalition for reason is the strongest, I think, in house number six.
You got Ryan, Oscar,
David. Oh yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh yeah, with Ryan, Oscar, Kelly, David Wallace, and Clark.
You're putting Ryan in the coalition for reason?
No, not at all. But Oscar and David Wallace, I think, are two people that would be calm enough and level-headed than us. Ryan and Kelly would be
probably Clark too.
Yeah, Ryan and Kelly would be like kind of a distraction on the side, and Clark is fine, I guess. He's kind
great slackliner,
kind of a skeevy dude, I guess, but at certain times, but you know, he would just be there, like.
Sure. Yeah. That's what I thought about three with Jim, Karen, and Charles would at least be someone. And you know, karaoke with Meredith and Creed at nighttime would be a great house.
House, man, can you imagine being in the house with Robert and Dwight and Nellie?
Now that's a reality show. That house, I'd love to watch.
That's
it.
Crazy.
I mean, Nellie and Robert are obviously doing their own thing, right?
Maybe.
I feel like maybe Robert and Phyllis.
The man speaks nothing but sex. That's not true. Sometimes he speaks about flesh.
No one wants to go to house five.
I mean,
house five, Andy, Kevin, Aaron, Gabe, and Pete.
House five is a show that I would want to watch, like a Big Brother show. I would love to watch that.
House five would be very entertaining.
Honestly, with Gabe and Andy and Aaron in the same house, and even Pete, I mean, but I guess Pete and Aaron would maybe be together, and then Andy and Gabe can be friends again, and Kevin too.
Kevin's just sitting in the cut there. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the springtime thinks that it's the best.
It's the best. Interesting.
I wonder.
It's a really good grouping of characters overall. I really like these pairings.
I wonder if Andy, Kevin, and Gabe would team up against Pete. Is what would actually end up happening. Uh-huh. And that would be very funny. Fun to watch. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for sending this to us, and
absolutely.
We'll post this so that everyone can send us their opinions too.
Google said Jim, but then he signed off James, so I don't want another Jenny Sunny situation. Yeah.
Jim, James, Jimothy. Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, I'll put that on Twitter. We'll have it up on Facebook when the show drops, so you guys can check it out.
And now, time for a little trivia.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sweet.
I am your big daddy, and I am going to kiss the boo-boo.
our classic trivia drop right there.
Thank you, baby. Thank you a lot.
All right, trivia. We'll go to the break room for trivia.
There we go. There we go.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Woo! All right, so trivia here. Again, this was a fan submitted, sent in by Kennedy.
Awesome.
Kennedy, great job on the trivia. I love how he did it. She did it. I don't know. Kennedy, who knows?
I love when Jim goes in to talk to Michael about what he said to David Wallace. He says, did you know Lincoln's secretary was named Kennedy?
all right, here it is. This is just randomly at random episodes, different season, general trivia for you guys. Question one. This is from season 8's The Turf War. What is Andy's wireless password?
Eat, pray, love.
Eat, pray, love. Correct. Yeah. From season 8, episode 24, Free Family Portrait Studio. During the cold open, 5 different people interrupt Oscar's webcam video. Who are they and in what order do they arrive?
Robert California.
It only counts if we see them in frame.
Robert California.
He did request we do this in order.
Oh,
Robert is last.
Yeah, no.
No?
Kevin is last. I'll give you one. Kevin is last.
Well.
But remember how it starts.
Can we? Okay, yeah. Somebody comes over and says, what is he doing? Or what are you doing?
Yes.
And then I think Dwight says he's making a video to recruit younger homosexuals. Yes. And then is the first person Phyllis?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Very
Phyllis,
good. So you have Phyllis and Dwight.
Angela?
And someone uses the camera for something else.
Oh, Kelly? Like checks how she looks. Robert comes in and says
it gets vastly more
complicated. Yeah.
Sexuality is a spectrum.
And then Kevin at the end.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right.
Nice.
Very
good.
Man,
we got through that one.
We got there. Woo! All right. From season 4, episode 4, Money. When Michael calls Stanley at his second job, what is he pretending to sell to him?
What is he pretending to sell to him?
Michael accidentally calls Stanley, and then he switches voices.
Oh, yeah.
What does he try to sell Stanley?
Sure, do you want to buy our...
You got the voice.
It's like, is it food?
No, it's a new satellite television.
Okay. Mm.
From the same episode, when Jim goes to Dwight's bedroom at Shroot Farms, when he hears him crying, what does the sign say on Dwight's door?
Oh.
Keep out?
No. It's similar.
Private? Employees only?
Yeah, private room. Yes. In the cold open to Roy's wedding in season 9, Pam creates a chore wheel for the office. Which of these is not an actual prize and punishment on the wheel?
Ooh.
Is it A, Creed's choice, B, warehouse vacation, C, $15, D, Stanley gets your lunch?
I know for sure Stanley gets your lunch is one of them.
I love warehouse vacation. That's so fun.
Yeah.
I want to say Creed's choice. Or $15.
I think it's $15. I think that's
Because who's giving the money for that? $15.
Oh, I forgot I had this. That is correct. It is C, $15. Nice. It's a little tricky from Kennedy because there is a $10 prize.
He tricked us. Okay.
Yes. Season 9, episode 1, New Guys. What two things does Angela use to describe her cat, Comstock, to Kevin?
Expensive?
No. It's long hair and denim pants.
Wait, how does she use it?
To describe Comstock to Kevin.
Oh, long hair and denim pants. That's funny.
I don't know. All right, from season 2, episode 12, The Injury. When they are bringing Dwight to the hospital, Dwight starts making weird noises. When Jim asks him what he's doing, what does he say?
Chopper noise, like helicopter sounds.
Oh, you're so close.
War sounds, Vietnam.
Yes, yeah. Vietnam sounds.
Yeah.
Very good. In the beginning of the episode, Take Your Daughter to Work Day, Pam is setting out 2 new types of candy for the kids. What are they? Bonus, she holds up 2 different bags a few seconds later. What type of candies are in those?
One of the bowls is green and one is orange. Sound right? I don't know.
No.
Jolly Ranchers or jelly beans?
Lemonheads and Starburst.
Okay.
Mm.
The bonus ones are lollipops and
jelly beans. Lollipops. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
This is fun. I'm having a good time.
This is a good one, yeah.
This is a hard one. How many years has Dwight brought pepper spray into the office every day? We find this out in the negotiation.
Eight?
Season three. Yes.
Oh, wow.
8 years. Very good. All right. From season four, Survivor Man, who went on Ryan's cool retreat?
Dan from Buffalo.
Yes.
Ryan. David Wallace.
Yes. Yes.
No,
we don't actually know David. Okay. We don't see that it's David.
Craig? No.
No Craig.
How many more are there?
So you've said Ryan so far.
And Dan from Buffalo.
Mark from Buffalo.
Mark from Buffalo. Okay.
So there's three more.
One of them is
obvious, works in the office.
Toby.
Okay. Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Kendall?
No. It might be Dan from Buffalo, and then he says Mark Chrisholm.
Okay.
And Jeff from Albany is the last
That's
one.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have hemorrhoids!
All right, from season six, the promotion. When Jim makes a pie chart of how Michael spends his day, what are the three categories?
Go for procrastinating, distracting others,
yes,
and critical thinking.
Yeah.
I made it bigger just so that you could see it.
Yes. All right. And the impossible bonus question here. What is Dunder Mifflin Scranton's fax number? We find this in Golden Ticket.
555-555-5555.
Oh, you got three of them right. 555-0175.
Actually, I should have known that. Link. You know, the rule is for when you're making phone numbers for shows, you have to do 555-01. And then you get to only make up those last two numbers. That's like,
oh, really? Oh.
Sometimes a production will pay for the actual number. They'll just like buy a real phone number so that they can have a real phone number.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of times with sitcoms and stuff like that, they don't want to buy phone numbers. They just put the 555. Nobody cares. So yeah, just so you know.
Hey, thanks for
that's really interesting.
That's it. That's the whole trivia right there. Great job.
Yeah, very much.
Great job, Kennedy.
Thank you so much.
Like the answers, putting the season, like the episode it came from,
that's
having
fantastic.
Multiple choice questions.
That is just, that's the way you do it, folks.
And it's from the whole show. I mean, if we get more like this from people, we're going to be using
them. We'll be doing them.
Okay. Give us the trivia.
You guys, please send us some trivia. You can write it to us. You can email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can write us on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter @MichaelScottPod. You can call us and leave us a message. Don't leave us your trivia that way. But if you have any questions or thoughts, give us a call.
553-694-9314. Quick thing, if you do make trivia for us, I just want to say, the best types of questions are things like, what does it say on the door? Like, or, you know, what was the name of whatever? Right. A lot of the number ones, they get a little dry. They're just, they're tough. We like them. Have one or two of those, but we don't want too many of those. Just heads up.
And you can find all those ways of getting a hold of us at michaelscottpod.com. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with all our social media and designs our artwork. This episode was obviously recorded all over Portland, Oregon.
Zoom.
From our various private studios.
I think one thing to mention.
I'm still at work.
This is our work from home. This is my office. Yeah, home office while working from home. I think our last mailbag episode, we had a really good time doing it, and I think we want to do more mailbag episodes in the future. So
yeah.
I know that you guys have been great about sending questions in, but please send in even more. We have a lot of time to get through them now. So
that was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and then lastly,
that. I know.
Of course, you know, we appreciate everyone who listens, interacts with us, messages us. Hope you're all doing well. Stay safe, stay healthy, be well.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening and for writing in. We love y'all.
Pippity poppy, give me the song.
Yes, sir.
Dean trophies, sweet 100, and doodly doo. Sherman blinds and rugs, sweet 202.
Here it is.
Balba bundling.
401.
Yeah, I was going to sing that part.
I know, now you don't have to.
Well, except it was going to resolve the melody, so now my head hurts. Feels like I held in a sneeze. I hate this feeling. Sweet 401.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island, USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.